The only reason for our existence is to have emunah in Hashem. One is invited to see the Ramban at the end of Parshat Bo. Right at the end of Parshat Bo, writes the Ramban that the only reason for our existence, the only reason Hashem initially created us, the only reason and purpose of all the mitzvot is in order to have emunah in Hashem. Many of the rabbis have followed course, such as the Vilna Gaon and many others that have written that the purpose of all the mitzvot is in order to have emunah in Hashem. Emunah is the foundation of everything in Yiddishkeit. We know that the first commandment, according to many authorities, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God, it's to have emunah in Hashem. Other authorities disagree and say no. It's not the first commandment to have emunah in Hashem, because emunah is not a mitzvah according to them. Emunah is so basic to Yiddishkeit that it's before the first commandment. So either it's the first commandment or it's before the first commandment. Emunah in Hashem is everything. What is the opposite of emunah? The opposite of emunah, the antithesis, is avodah zarah, serving idols. Obviously, there's many levels in between the extreme pinnacle of emunah, complete ein od milvado, there's only Hashem in the world, and the extreme pinnacle of avodah zarah, that a certain individual, a certain item runs the world, chas v'shalom. Obviously, there's many levels in between where one attributes, yes, Hashem runs the show, but the doctor's helping me. Yes, Hashem runs the show, but this ishtadlus for making money is helping me, etc. What I want to talk about now is, do we really believe? That's the question. Emunah is the reason we were created, and of course a life's work. And the more one learns about it, the more one grows. But what's been on my mind is just, do we really, really believe? The extent of how sincere are we in our emunah that Hashem is ein od milvado? To elaborate on this a little bit more, as we mentioned, there's emunah to the one extreme and avodah zarah to the other extreme. But there's many levels in between. So, someone gets sick. Someone needs to make money. Someone needs a shidduch. Someone needs some sort of yeshua, whatever it may be. What is one's approach? If one is 100% on the side of ein od milvado, they will just deal with it with Hashem. That's what ein od milvado means. Ein od milvado means it's the most absurd thing in the world to do anything except for deal with it with Hashem. Talk to Hashem. Ask Hashem for help. The reason that we don't sometimes have kavana, we're davening to Hashem. We don't really believe He's listening. Why don't we do the mitzvah to the in the best possible way? If Hashem commanded us to do a mitzvah, you know, and we really believe that this is doing everything for us. This is Hashem's mitzvah. We're happy to spend all the money in the world. We're happy to dive in. We have emunah. Hashem's going to help us. Do we really believe is the question. Do we really believe? It's very hard. It's very hard, of course. We've got to keep learning about it and giving ourselves chizuk. But I wanted to mention a few ideas that perhaps can be a little bit helpful, Bezrat Hashem. So, the many levels, just to mention this point again, we will deal with ishtadlus now. What is ishtadlus and how much ishtadlus a person has to put in? But just to understand that there can be many levels between having emunah and avodah zarah. So if a person gives some credibility, let's use an example, a person needs to make money. A person now goes out and he gets a job, etc. And he thinks that the boss is paying him. He thinks that he's completely in the hands of the boss. He starts sucking up to the boss. He starts, you know, being extra kind to him, etc. That's obviously, we understand, complete avodah zarah. When a person is literally thinking that this boss has any power and not just a puppet. But even to some extent, if a person davens to Hashem for their hatzlocha and their parnosa and their refuah, etc., what they're looking for, but then to some extent, they still feel a little bit that their boss is helping them a little bit, that's an element of avodah zarah. There's going to be a percentage of how much emunah they're having and how much avodah zarah they're doing. It's one of the two. Now, a person may say, yes, but there's a mitzvah of ishtadlus. I want to discuss what ishtadlus is. Firstly, just because there's a mitzvah, let's say like this. Mesillas Yesharim says that ishtadlus does not have a connection to the result. What does that mean? That means you take medication it doesn't make you better. The medication doesn't make you better. You're just taking the medication because it's a mitzvah to do so. But it's got nothing to do with making you better. A person's trying to find a shidduch, phone a shadchan, etc. That phone call has nothing to do with you finding your shidduch. Of course, very often it's difficult because Hashem's testing us. The whole point of our being created is emunah, and therefore it very often seems like, oh, I did this ishtadlus, and look what it did. It brought me this shidduch, it brought me this refuah, it brought me this money, etc. You know, it seems like it's connected, but this is the basic to anyone who's doing ishtadlus. The ishtadlus has nothing to do with the result. Okay, Hishtalus is a mitzvah. Just like I have a mitzvah to shake lulav, I have a mitzvah to light Shabbos candles, I have a mitzvah to keep kashrus, etc. All the different mitzvahs is a mitzvah to do Hishtalus. Now, just because I have to shake lulav, it doesn't mean that I'm supposed to forego the whole Torah because in order to try to shake lulav. The same with Hishtalus. Just because I have to do Hishtalus, it doesn't mean I have to sell my neshama that I have no emunah, and I'm on the side of avoda zara just because I'm doing ishtalus. We need to realize the dangers of ishtalus. If a person falls into the trap, a person gets sick, and immediately their first response is they take a pill, even before thinking about Hashem, is that not outright avoda zara? Outright avoda zara. And they phone the doctor straight away first thing. Obviously, pikuach nefesh, that's something else. Then there's a mitzvah straight away to act. But a person should be calm. Something happened. The first thing, of course, I talk to Hashem. Do I believe He's listening? If I believe He's listening and I believe He's running in the world, then I really believe that what I'm going to do by phoning the doctor has nothing to do with making me better. If I believe that, am I really going to run to the doctor straight away? It's going to actually be hard to go to the doctor at all. I may afterwards still go to the doctor, because, and we'll discuss now the levels of ishtadlus. I may still go because that's what I'm obligated to do as a mitzvah. Just like if it's a very hot day, I still have to wear tzitzis. And I still have to cover my hair. Because, it may still be difficult. Ishtadlus for a person who's really, really connecting to Einod Milvadoi should be difficult. Should be, why in heaven should I go do this ishtadlus? It's got nothing to do with helping me. We need to realize that very often, the dangers of ishtadlus can lead us to a trap. That we give some credibility to the Hishtadlus. Of course, if we completely rely on the Hishtadlus, is that not outright avodah zarah? But even if to some degree, a person acknowledges, okay, let's spend a minute davening to Hashem, and then let's spend the next 3 hours investigating online what to do and how to researching this topic. Is that really believing in Hashem? If a person really believes in Hashem, if a person really believes that Hashem's listening to them, they'll rather spend 3 hours talking to Hashem. Thereafter, yes, they may still do the mitzvah of ishtadlus because there's a mitzvah to do so, but they know that ishtadlus is not helping them. Very often, as a person can do all the ishtadlus in the world as long as they know the truth, that the ishtadlus is not helping them. If a person wants to research this further, it's worthwhile just realizing the conventional approach to ishtadlus. This is agreed upon by everyone. This is a classic Mesilas Yesharim, that ishtadlus does not affect our results. However, the classic conventional approach to ishtadlus is like the Chovos HaLevavos, that a person that most individuals need to do ishtadlus. There are those individuals, even says the Chovos HaLevavos, even according to his approach, that they are living on a level that they can just have emunah, they don't have to do ishtadlus. But for the average individual, they do need to do the mitzvah of ishtadlus. But again, I'm mentioning that even according to the Chovos HaLevavos, it's so, so important to remember that just because I have a mitzvah of ishtadlus, I mustn't sell my life. I mustn't say, and if a person doesn't know now, should I do ishtadlus or not? And they've got a suffix, maybe, and they're feeling like doing the ishtadlus is pulling them into avodah zarah, is pulling them into believing that this is helping me, you know, that making this phone call is helping me. Maybe it's okay one time to say, you know what, for today, Hashem, I'm not making this phone call today. Today, I'm not doing the ishtadlus because I feel like it's leading me to avodah zarah. You know, I'm foregoing the mitzvah of ishtadlus today for the bigger picture of the reason that I was created. Also worthwhile to remember that Chovos HaLevavos is not the only approach, and this is a topic that a person can investigate further. And I'm going to just briefly outline what this is. There's another approach, and that's the approach of the Ramban. The Ramban's approach is different to the Chovos HaLevavos, and his approach is that basically a person really doesn't need ishtadlus. Ultimately, you don't need to do ishtadlus. I'm not going to go into this now, but if you want to research this topic, there's a fantastic sefer. It's called Madrega Sa'adam, Darkei HaBitachon, and it's by the altar of Navarduk. They have it in art scroll. It's a phenomenal sefer, and he goes through, there's numerous chapters just explaining all the sources from the Torah that, you know, a person's always heard about Ishtadlus, etc. He explains from A to Z, and explains that there's a machlokes really between Chavos HaLevavos and Ramban. But again, he makes it very clear there, it's a very worthwhile sefer to get, that even one is doing Ishtadlus, even one is following the approach of the Chavos HaLevavos, one has to not get lost. One has to remember the dangers of Ishtadlus. And I'm saying this again now, and this is what's on my heart, that a person needs to remember, yes Ishtadlus, no Ishtadlus. Okay, let's say a person's taking the approach that even yes Ishtadlus, some sort of Ishtadlus, in whatever area it may be. A person gets sick, I need to take a pill now, I need to go to the doctor. A person needs to remember now that they're obligated by Hashem to jump in a fire. But if they jump slightly wrong, they're going to get burnt. They're doing Avodah Zorah. There's a mitzvah from Hashem that is very, very close to Avodah Zorah, and that's Ishtadlus. And what a person has to do is be very mindful at the beginning. A person who really believes in Hashem, in Ein Od Milvado, in really that the Ishtadlus has nothing to do with the result, and that the opposite of Emunah is Avodah Zorah, and giving any credibility whatsoever to any individual is Avodah Zorah, before doing Ishtadlus, a person, what they're going to do, they're going to stop. They're going to, of course, dive into Hashem. And they're going to spend a lot of time. They're going to spend more time and using time and energy rather directly to Hashem, talking to Hashem about it, saying their Tehillim, putting their efforts into the mitzvahs. And they're definitely going to say, Hashem, I'm about to do something very dangerous. Just like if a person's going to do, you know, if a person needs to walk through a difficult a person has to go now to redeem a captive. You have to go redeem a captive. But it happens to be, just like we see in the Gemara, I think it was the sister of Reish Lakish, whoever it was, the sister-in-law of Reish Lakish, whatever. He himself, or whoever it was, Rabbi Yochanan, I can't remember, he had to go and save that individual, to basically someone who was captive, who was taken captive and was being defiled by the goyim there, you know, some woman. And he had to go and save her, and eventually he did. He went in and saved her. But again, if you have to go into the places that he's going to have to go into to save the individual, is really going to be difficult. There's going to be people dressed very inappropriately, people acting very inappropriately. But sometimes you have to go into that place because you've got a mitzvah to save a captive, to save a Jewish soul. You got to go in. Sometimes you got to dirty your neshama a little bit to help another neshama. But before you go in, what are you going to do? Are you just going to go in as it's a regular happy Monday? You're going to spend maybe a day fasting before that. Maybe if you can't fast, the person's going to say, okay, I'm going to dive into Hashem, I'm going to give tzedakah, I'm going to beg Hashem that He helps me not to fall to Aveira, not to fall to Aveira by going to such dangerous places. Of course, I've still got to do the mitzvah. The same with Ishtadlus. If I'm going to enter this dangerous zone of Ishtadlus, oi, it's dangerous. I must dive into Hashem. Hashem, save me. Help me not to fall even slightly into thinking that the medication helps me. And like I said, sometimes to build that bitachon, a person is allowed to and should say, you know what? Not allowed to rely on a miracle. But a person should sometimes say, you know what? For today, Hashem, I feel I'm falling on the side of just the pill helps me every time. I'm not taking the pill today. I say that carefully because if a person is very ill and needs a certain pill that really has been helped, you know, they're dependent on that, they're not allowed to rely on a miracle. But again, there's going to be a line to that. There's going to be a line to how much everyone has to assess in their own situation. The bottom line with all these things is, does a person really believe or doesn't a person believe? If a person really believes, they're going to deal with every situation and every question in their life completely and directly with Hashem. If I know that, if one would see Hashem, you could literally see him. Person wouldn't have a suffix. And they know, Ein Od Milvado. What I'm going to do my own efforts. Are you mad? If a person is doing Ishtadlus, but they realize that Ishtadlus is mad, they know they're on the right track. In their own eyes, Ishtadlus is mad. I do it because Hashem told me to. If I would have written the Torah, logic would dictate not to do it. Just like many mitzvahs. And if I would have written the Torah, logic would dictate not to be nasty, you know, to the birds. Shiloh HaKen, when it's unnecessary, whatever. You know, when I don't need the eggs and I'm chasing the mother of the bird. And what's going on here? Hashem commanded me. Logic would dictate me not to do it. But I do it because Hashem said so. Logic would dictate that I shouldn't do Ishtadlus. Are you mad? Hashem's running the world. It's bringing me closer to avoid a Zorah to do Ishtadlus. It's the most bizarre thing in the world. Wait, one second. If Hashem commanded me to do it, Ashek Lulav Adu Ishtadlus, but I've got to be very careful. This is a very dangerous zone, Ishtadlus. Got to be very, very careful, daven to Hashem with all my heart, that Hashem save me from any avodah zara. Keep me far away from thinking that anything except for you helps. This is the question of, do we really believe? So the last thing that I'll end with, how does one practically build this bitachon in themselves? Of course, a person needs emunah and bitachon needs, the more we can learn about it, and the more Torah we learn, stam Torah cleanses us, completely and cleanses our neshamas. But the more Torah also we learn in particular about emunah and stories we read about it, etc., it builds our emunah, etc. But more than that, when a person gets inspired even for one moment, if a person suddenly, they suddenly on the spot, they just decide, MS, Einod Milvada, there's only Hashem. A person should stop. Like Rabbi Nachman says, when a person feels like an awakening to talk to Hashem, you shouldn't wait 10 minutes and do it another time. Stop where you are, even if it's in the middle of a supermarket. Find a little quiet corner if you're uncomfortable there, and then start right there. You have that moment there. You're inspired right then. Do it then and there. And say, the person, if they're inspired, they should say, Hashem, help me. When they're feeling that, help me. Help me not to do avodah zara anymore. Help me to realize the truth. Help me to realize that the whole world is operating in the opposite way. The whole world is operating in a way where it seems like everything in this world is run by ishtadlus. It seems like everything is ishtadlus, but it's the biggest sheker. The very, very important Gemara, all of us should remember every day, the Gemara in Pesachim, I think it's Dav Nun Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that, there was a certain great sage who had an NDE and a near-death experience, and they asked him when he came back, what did you see in heaven? And he said, I saw an upside-down world. This world is an alma de shikra. It's a world of lies. Everything is upside down here. We think you did this. This person's successful, you see. This one didn't do ishtadlus, and that's why he's not successful. This one did ishtadlus, and that's why he is successful. A person has to remember the dangers. If someone is very successful in their life in many, many areas, even in spiritual areas I'm speaking about, but they attributing their successes, and I don't mean someone who's really, really not on the side of Emunah, who's really, really thinks that Hashem doesn't run the world. Someone who really, they're trying to do the mitzvahs, but they, at the end of the day, they think that they're making their money. They think that their efforts are bringing their money, even slightly. That is the biggest tragedy. Because the only reason that we were created is to have emunah in Hashem. And on the scorecard of how did they do between the emunah and the avodah zarah, where do they belong? Where do they belong? Maybe someone will ask them, who created the world? Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. Okay, but do you really, really, really believe that? That's a question. That's the main question. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that when something happened in your life, did you immediately spend a long time talking to Hashem? Did you do ishtadlus? And before you do the ishtadlus, did you take to heart that the ishtadlus has zero to do with one's results? And if one didn't, where are they on the scorecard? Where are they on the scorecard? We should all be zoche bezrat Hashem to use the opportunity that we have, if one is inspired even for a moment, that Hashem is completely in control, to use that opportunity and ask Hashem, because any area in our life, we can ask Hashem, we say, Hashem, help me. Hashem, help me. Hashem, help me. And ask Hashem, how does one get to the stage of real bitachon, real emunah, real einod milvado? Ask Hashem, just like I can ask him about anything. Hashem, help me. Hashem, help me. Hashem, doesn't matter what I've done, I want to live a life. I want to live a life, ribono shel olam. I want to live a life where I just see einod milvado. And if I have questions, I don't know how much ishtadlus to put, etc. I don't know how much to do, about that. All these questions, dive into Hashem about it. Which Rav should I follow? Which community? Which this? All the different areas. Dive into Hashem for clarity. A person who really believes in Einod Milvado, they will daven. They have no suffix. The reason we don't always have kavana is because we have suffix. I want to just mention another point. There's many areas of suffix that we're going to have. Obviously, which job? Which type of refuah? Which? All many, many different things. And even in the spiritual realm, there's many different arguments between the different rabbis and with which path to take. I'm going to give one example. And the example is, the Gemara says in the Halacha says, Ein somchil al anes. You're not allowed to rely on a miracle. So people may hear such a thing of Einod Milvado, and someone who really doesn't want to believe it fully, they may say, yeah, but you're not allowed to rely on a miracle, etc. Okay, firstly, one must learn the sugya. Like I mentioned that book before, he speaks about it a lot, Madrega Sa'adam. Altov Navardok Darkei Bitachon. He speaks about this concept of Ein Somchin Al Neis, how to reconcile it to etc. and what it means. But if one doesn't know, what does it mean a person is not allowed to rely on a miracle fully? The first thing they should do, if they've got a real suffix, they've investigated the topic. You know, I'll give you an example just to explain this point further, and then we'll end with this, Bezrat Hashem. The Gemara says, the Marasha in the Gemara says the following incredible insight. There was a great rabbi, I forget his name, one of the great rabbis came to a town, and they all, one of the Tanaim Amoraim, and all the people of the town, by the instruction of the Rav of their town, who was also Tanaim Amora, they were instructed, don't give this Rav Hachnasas Orchim. Why? Because there was a demon, dangerous creature in one of the shuls that used to like harm people. Anyway, basically what happened is, because this Tana Amora didn't have any way to stay, he landed up staying in the shul. And because he was in the shul, because of his holiness, he landed up killing the demon. And now everyone was safe that they were able to go back into the shul. The question the Marasha asks is, how were the people of the community able to do this terrible thing that they put this great sage in danger by sleeping in the shul? He could have been harmed. And the Marasha says, because they knew that he was so holy that he would daven to Hashem to save him. And when a person davens to Hashem for something, it's not considered a miracle anymore if you're saved by it. Even a miraculous situation, says the Marasha. Normally something which would be considered a miracle, if you daven for it, you daven to Hashem for it, it's not a miracle anymore. It's not Ein Somchin Al Neis anymore. Wow, that's incredible. That changes the whole perspective of what it means. Ein Somchin Al Neis. You know, anyway, what I'm saying is there's a whole Torah. One can speak and say, one needs to learn about these things. But what's the right path? How much should I rely on the miracle? Should I rely at all on a miracle? So what one needs to do is, if one has any suffix, if they believe Hashem exists, rather than at first research every website on the internet and this and that, etc., go and talk to Hashem. Does he? If he exists, he's going to listen to me. May we all be zoiche, bezrat Hashem, to the highest emunah, the highest bitachon, in the highest way that we can. And bezrat Hashem, when we finish our lives, may we all be zoiche that mamish, we reach the highest score on our scorecard of absolute emunah, absolute bitachon in every area. Emir tzah Hashem.